going throughout the earth. Amen. Because the truth didn't change. Amen. He's still God. And had they tried to change the scriptures, they would have had to recall thousands and thousands of copies of manuscripts and change them all. And yet, the historical record shows that over 20,000 times Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Amen. The gospel is the most attested to event in all of human history for a reason. Amen. And that reason is to show who Jesus is. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes real and present. And the gospel's not just news that informs the hearer, but it removes blindness and it unveils God Himself to those who believe. And I'm so thankful that one day when I was just a little boy, amen, and I was looking at the scriptures and I was hearing my pastor preach the word of God, that God stepped down from this veil of glory and revealed Himself to me. And I've seen it and I know it, who He is, and I will never be the same. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ has been set forth, crucified for me. Amen. And I hope He has for you too. Oh, kid, young people, if you don't get this, amen. If you can't get a hold of this gospel message, amen. This isn't just good advice. This isn't just some, you know, wise saying through history. This is the truth, amen. It's more real, amen, than this environment around you. Hallelujah. God, open our eyes and show us who You are tonight. God, bless us to see You, Lord, high and lifted up. God, bless us to know You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank You, God. I praise You, God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. God revealed Himself. And that's exactly what happened in Samaria. God revealed Himself to them. And it's exactly what the Gospel of Mark is doing. It's showing us who He is. And in lesson one, just to recap, and if you haven't heard it, you can go on the website or the app. Just like with all the messages, Pastor preaches really great messages. And if you missed it, go back and listen to it. In fact, I have this, especially if you're serving somewhere in the church, outside of the sanctuary on Sunday. So Sunday school teachers, go back and listen to the messages. Amen. My sister served in Sunday school when her kids were there. Now, she was probably a quarter of the population of the Sunday school because she has five kids. And I'm very proud of them. But I'm sure it was difficult being a Sunday school teacher, but Brother Russell Frazier, he would make sure that the people that were in the sound booth made copies for all the Sunday school teachers and would give them to them. And he said, "Look, this isn't optional. You need to be on the same page as the ministers and the direction, the vision of the church, and especially the pastor." And so, yes, we understand that you're going to miss. We understand that life takes its toll and there's people out tonight because of different reasons. Amen. But digital age has made it easy for you to catch up. In fact, my little tip is that I speed the message up to like about 1.5 times speed and I listen to it like that. So it takes about 45 minutes, takes it down to about a half hour. And pastor's talking like so fast. Drives Alyssa crazy. So lesson one, we we watched Jesus revealed as the Lord of Isaiah 40 and the God who forgives sins. And the lesson two, we saw what happens when the same God steps into our storms, our battles, our limitations. He binds the strong man. He commands the sea. He raises the dead. And he walks where we cannot walk. This is the God who has all authority. The God above all powers. Amen. And so the Gospel of Mark is telling us over and over again that Jesus is not just another teacher throughout history. He's not Aristotle. He's not whoever. Name the great teachers throughout history, great philosophers throughout history. And Jesus is not just another. He's not one of their peers. Let me put it that way. Amen. He is God. God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. Amen. And He steps into our lives with all authority. And just like in Galatia, we are looking as the audience of the Gospel of Mark. We're being brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just as real as the news that you read tomorrow. Okay? And it hasn't even happened yet. This is just as real as the flash that goes across your screen, if that's how you're consuming it. Amen. It's ultra low latency, as they say. Praise God. Because it's real. Jesus is real. Somebody say that. Jesus is real. Amen. He's not some God that's in the distance. He's not, yes, as part of history, this is true history. Amen. But we're part of His story. Hallelujah. And this is our revelation. It's precious to us. Jesus is being set forth tonight. Amen. And now, in Mark chapter 7 and 8, which is all that I'm going to go through tonight, it's not going to be very long at all. In fact, it's probably the shortest list of scriptures I've ever given to the sound team. Amen. And so, we're going to look towards Jesus' authority towards restoration and provision. Mark 3 through 6 showed us His power over the enemy and over the elements and over death. But these chapters shows us His power over what's been broken, over what's been damaged, and over what we need and what has been depleted in us. Amen. He restores what's been lost. He heals what has been wounded. And He feeds when the stores run dry. Jesus feeds us. Amen. So Mark chapters 3 through 6, we talked about the Christ who overcomes. And in this one, we're going to talk about the Christ who makes us whole, or the Christ who restores. And I want to just put in your mind, right here at the start, because, you know, I never been raised from the dead, but I have been provided for. And so I feel like these passages, these two chapters, are very personal to us, because Jesus is the Christ who provides our needs. And so I want to ask you if you can think, and just keep it real short. Let me preach tonight. Amen. But keep it real short. But think about a time where you really didn't see a way out. And you really didn't have anything to give. And you really didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. And you weren't sure if tomorrow you were going to have a roof over your head or a job to work. I think about those times. Start thinking about them now. Because towards the end here, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to share that encouragement. because there are people who are going through things tonight. And it's one thing to look at Scripture, and if you don't understand that this is today's news, I'm going to let somebody tell you today's news tonight so that you know that God is going to take care of you. He is. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 7. This is so great. Amen. The Creator who restores. Jesus in Mark chapter 7 heals a deaf man. Say, oh, well, he went around healing all kinds of people. And yes, that's great. And yes, it was awesome, but we can praise God for all of those healings. But I really like when Jesus confirms who his identity is right there before our eyes, and we sort of miss it. Praise the Lord. So Mark 7:37 says, and we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He make both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He make both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So I'm going to take you to a place where you maybe never thought that this is related. But Jesus went around and he said the phrase, I am. And it's recorded many times in the book of John. And more seldom in these other Gospels. But that phrase, I am, is the same phrase that when he spoke from the burning bush, he told Moses, I am that I am. And so the revelation here is that we are talking about the same God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And if we go back and look in Exodus chapter 4, and we know the story of Moses, how he's out there grazing his flocks, and he sees the burning bush on the side of the wilderness, and yet the bush is not consumed. Amen. And I'm sure if you've ever been near a fire, especially if you're trained to fight fires at all, you pay attention when fires are burning. Amen. One time I was over here behind Burlington Coat Factory, and I was going to drop off Tabari Smith, and actually I just dropped him off, and I'm driving back towards, at the time I lived at Pastor's house in his basement. I'm driving up around that curvy bend, and over on the side I see a dry pile of leaves and about a 3-foot flame jumping out of it. And now, this is probably crazy for most of you, but what would you do in that situation? What would you do? Seriously, what would you do? Keep driving? It's what everyone else did. I put my flashers on. I jumped out of my car. I grabbed something in the back of my truck, and I went and put the fire out. Amen. It happened again on the bridge coming home. Last week, there was a truck bed liner in the far right lane on the Gold Star Bridge. Yeah, it just must have come loose and flew out of somebody's truck. And everybody's swerving around it. And this one car watched this car just about hit it. And so I slowed way down, made sure everybody stopped behind me. And a couple of us blocked off traffic while I threw that thing over the barrier. Not into the river, but into the walkway. Because that's what I do. It's important that you don't just leave things like that for someone else to do. Especially you young men, listen up. If there's something you can do to help, just do it. It takes you 2 minutes and you might save somebody's life. All right, so Moses, he sees a bush burning. What's he going to do? He wasn't the kind of guy that just walked away. read his history. He went, when they were beating that slave, he went and killed that guy. And again, when those the shepherds were coming to that well, he went and fought them. What's he going to do? He goes aside, and as he approaches, God speaks from that bush, and he says, "Stop. Take off your shoes, off your feet. This is holy ground." Amen. But look at what the Lord says. And I'm not going to tell the whole story or read it. But look at what the Lord says to one of Moses' excuses. "Well, I can't speak good, Lord." You remember that? "Well, I can't speak good, Lord." And in verse 11, he says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who hath made man's mouth?" Does anybody know the answer? What's his name? Jesus. "Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" And I want you to notice, I don't know why this is not all caps in this version, but it's all caps in the King James Version. Amen. That's Yahweh. When you see in all caps, Jehovah God of the Old Testament. There is no other. Amen. None beside Him. Amen. He doesn't know any God other than Himself. Amen. And yet, there He is in the book of Mark chapter 7. Restoring sight to the blind. And restoring hearing to the deaf. Amen. The God who created man's eyes and God who created man's mouth is standing there before them and healing them and meeting all of their needs. Amen. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we serve. Amen. This is what Jesus wants us to know Him for. Amen. That we can come to Him. He's the one that created our bodies. Amen. He can restore our bodies. Amen. And look, what is this that it shows us His heart towards us? What is His heart towards you? His heart is that He wants to heal you. You know, Jesus restoring tongues and ears and eyes. It shows that God wants us to be whole. He's invested in your wholeness. Amen. In your completeness in Him. And He's not distant. He's not telehealth. Let me get on that. He's not a call me up God and I'm not going to touch you. No. He's a God that puts His hands on us. Amen. He comes near to us. Amen. He's compassionate when you're hurting. He knows when you need healing. Amen. He takes care of us. Takes care of us. Hallelujah. And be careful, body, because God might actually use you to be the one that goes and lays hands on somebody and prays for them. Amen. That's God's hands. That's the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. I know we got a testimony about that tonight. Hallelujah. But look at this, how in Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, "He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds." That's what God's heart is towards you. He doesn't want to see you hurting. He wants you to call on Him. Yes, everybody gets sick. I wasn't feeling too well this last week. Amen. And James got sick on Monday. We stayed home from the prayer meeting. Thank you for praying for us. Amen. We get sick. But you better believe I'm asking God to help me. Make me well, Lord. I'm coming to You, Jesus. I need You to touch my body. I need You to touch my mind. Amen. And when you pray, amen, in that desperate need, that desperate hour of need, amen. And even better, when you begin to thank God and praise Him, amen, for receiving glory even in your pain and in your sickness, amen, He loves our worship, amen, He honors our worship, amen, He presses into where we are, and He meets our needs with compassionate hands. Amen. He's the great physician. He's the great surgeon. Amen. He's the creator of every neuron and every sinew and every muscle and every bone. Amen. And He's the restorer of all of those things. Amen. Oh, do you believe it tonight? Clap your hands to the Lord. Thank Him. Especially if you're in pain right now, just thank Him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Listen, your relationship with God is not mechanical. He's not, you don't go for a tune-up, something like that. But listen, amen. Each and every one of us have different needs, different parts of our bodies that fail, and different things that happen to us. And we get sick in different ways, and we're affected differently by different sicknesses and different things that do different things to different people. You're unique. Your body is unique. Amen. None of you look the same in this place, except for the twins. Amen. And even now, you guys are starting to look a little different. To me, at least. He's like, I've been different the whole time. Amen. Unless you're an identical twin. Amen. But you're unique. And Jesus knows. He's personalized. Amen. In the way He restores you. It's just incredible. When doctors can't figure you out, when doctors don't know, God knows. He knows how to treat it. He knows how to save you. He knows how to do what only God knows how to do. Amen. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, one of my favorite verses of Scripture says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. You're complete in Him. He sees you as being whole in eternity. Amen. He sees you as being restored. Amen. And reconciling all things in your life. Amen. When you're in heaven, you're not going to be limping down streets of gold. You're going to be dancing, leaping, and jumping and running down that street of gold. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. That we know that God is going to do all things well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Actually, why don't we stop right now? And let's ask, is there anybody here who was on death's bed? Or you were so sick you couldn't get out of the bed? And you're here tonight, and you just got to tell somebody how good God is. Amen. All right.
This isn't recent. This was quite a few years ago now when we lived in Virginia. And we were having some special services, and it was like just right in the afternoon I started getting really sick to my stomach, really, really bad, and getting a headache and all this stuff. And it's like, I want to be at that service. And it was just amazing because I said, okay, I'm just going to go. I'm going to try. I'll see what I can do. I'm going to try and do it. And I got into the van, and my head hurt, and my stomach hurt, and I got to the parking lot, and we stopped, and I stepped out, and I started walking to the church, and it all went away. I was just fine when Jesus. I walked into the church.
That's awesome.
God is just so good.
Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Give it to James. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on, Brother Mike. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I had a blood clot in my leg last year, and it gave loose and hit my lung, stayed in my lung, and they thought I was having a heart attack at Bacchus. And somebody said, nope, that's not a heart attack. And they sent me up to Hartford, and they, you know, realized, obviously, that what was going on was I had a blood clot that was trying to stop my heart or blow it up, one of the two. And so I had to go through that process. I say that process because maybe somebody else knows what it was. It was very long, and it was very miserable, and it was a three-part thin your blood and keep it thin and whatever, and keep you alive at the same time. And after the first one, it was like a 10-hour section. 10 hours, that's all I can remember him saying, 10 hours. Miserable. So I'm laying there, and he says, all right, we're just about ready. The guy, the surgeon, whatever he was, the doctor that was in the emergency room there, wherever I was. And he says, we're just about done with the first stage, and now we're getting ready. Oh, in my mind, the next stage was going to be even harder than the one I just went through. So I kind of looked at him the best I could, and I said, is this even worth it? What are we doing here? And he looked at me, and he said, and I've heard this more than once. All right. He looked at me and said, Michael, you can't think like that. I know where my home is, and I know where I'm going next. And I felt like, hey, this is just my ticket out of here. I'm ready to go. God's good. Let's go. But when he said it, and I recognized it, and I was miserable, I just started praying right there. All right. Didn't matter. I'm not afraid to pray with anybody. Amen. So I was praying, but then it started, and I was still feeling miserable. So I said, Lord, if you're not going to listen to me, I got a whole church full of people back at home right now that are praying for me, and I know you're listening to them. And I kid you not, just a few minutes later, I was at ease, and everything felt great. And it was a noticeable amount that I said, all right, Lord, I get it, I understand. And I honestly believe that whole moment was for nothing more than to realize how precious the saints' prayers are.
Amen.
And he does listen, and yes, they do matter, and they make a difference. Amen.
That's right. That's it. Praise God. Clap our hands to the Lord and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody else been sick. Doctor said it was going to be over. Come on. Hallelujah.
I remember when Joseph was about Kiana's age, and he ate the wrong thing, unbeknownst to anybody. And so I had sense enough, well, let me just get him to the emergency room, which was only probably 10 minutes from our house at the time. And then I realized just how serious things were.
Yes.
And they began to try to treat him with certain medications, and then they had to repeat and repeat. Then they start whipping out all the heart monitors and tagging him and sticking him because this, you know, the body can only take so much, and they're only men. But they knew nothing else. What else could they do?
Yeah.
And at that moment, I remembered a testimony that I heard of a couple who had a newborn that they were going to lose, and they were just giving God thanks for the hours and the day that they had. And I just remembered that testimony, and right there at the ER by myself with him, and that was what I just began to thank the Lord for everything.
Amen.
And Amen. That was all that I could do.
Yes.
There was nothing else.
Right.
Because watching them do what they were doing was really causing me to want to get up and just get him out of there.
Yes.
It took 3 days. And they didn't understand why he wasn't getting better. And I prayed again. I was like, Lord, what can I do? And just me asking him, he gave me wisdom enough to say that the neighbor patient had something about them that was not allowing the medication to heal him.
Oh, wow.
So I said, but we didn't know the room. We went to the other room, and within 5 minutes, they could just see the change that was happening. Wow. But when there are things that are death's door, the only thing that we can do is call out to the Lord.
Amen.
And that is
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. One more. Rachel's got a testimony. Come on. Rachel's got a testimony.
She's wanting me to tell about one time, actually a couple different times that Rachel had croup really bad.
Yeah.
She's remembering when we were camping with some friends, and she had a croup cough. We were out in the middle of the woods, you know. I told Darren, I was like, I don't even know the nearest hospital at this, like where we are. I don't even know where I would take her. It was scary for her and for us. And we prayed. I took her into the van with the air conditioner, and she was finally able to rest and breathe. And then the next day, she was totally fine.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. God healed her.
Hallelujah. My kids know Jesus is a healer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, God. Sit next to Grandpa there and mute that microphone. Praise God. So Mark chapter 8. And as we go through the next chapter, you're going to see that He is the provider that feeds us when we are hungry. Amen. So Mark chapter 8 verse 6. And you know the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. But here in Mark chapter 8, it says, and He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. Now, you know the story. They collected back the baskets that were left over. There were 12 baskets left over. Amen. And He'd fed 5,000 men besides women and children. It's out of just a small boy's lunch, He feeds all those people. Amen. And this is Jesus showing us once again that He is the God of the Old Testament. Because this isn't the first time that there was a multitude out in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And Exodus chapter 16 is where God fed Israel in the wilderness. In Exodus 16 verse 4 says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove you. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now jumping back over to Mark 8 and the different stories of, I think of John chapter 6, where Jesus began to say, I am the bread of life. And he even said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And people started leaving. And so once again, this isn't the first time God proved them in the wilderness by showing them the bread of life. Amen. In Exodus 16 verse 12, He said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even, the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So Jesus is just repeating this miracle. And he's showing us. Amen. He's not calling down manna, but he multiplies the bread in his own hands. This time, it's something personal. This time, the bread that he breaks, he touched every single piece of that bread. Amen. It reminds me, when I make meatballs, I make them by hand. I touch every single one of those meatballs. Amen. But it's a personal touch. Amen. Normally I use gloves because it gets all over your hands, all sticky and stuff. But that personalized touch of provision, not something you find in the morning, not something that's laying out on the ground that you got to go pick up. Amen. But something that the master broke with his own hands and provided. He knows what you need. He knows your life. He knows exactly how to meet those needs. He knows exactly where to give you, to feed you, to give you something that's going to sustain you and restore you. Amen. And he does it every time without fail. Without fail. Has anybody tonight seen the Lord fail you? No. He never fails. I've failed him over and over and over again. But he still takes care of me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are faithful, Lord. You are great, oh God. I love you. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He knows your finances better than you know it. He knows what's in your pantry better than you know it. He knows what you do on your job better than you know it. Amen. I'm so thankful for this relationship that I have with the God who made everything. Amen. We like to say it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. And what is it? How does it shape your trust in Him? To know that Jesus is the provider. He provides for all my needs. How does it shape your trust in Him? Seriously. If you know that He can't fail, if you know that even if you mess things up and you make decisions that you shouldn't make, amen. Now, we're not out there trying to fleece the Lord and be haphazard. In fact, the Bible speaks over and over again of stewardship. Amen. If you're not paying your tithes, pay your tithes. Amen. That's one of those things that you can make mistakes over and over again thinking, well, I'm not sure if God's going to provide for next week. I better spend this tithe money. No. He's never going to fail you. Put Him first in your finances. Amen. And He's going to provide for you. Be a good steward. Be wise like He says to be. And He will never fail you. Amen. And even if you're not wise, and even if you do, if you are a compulsive spender, you know, the world knows we're all compulsive spenders too. He still meets our needs. Amen. And he doesn't need to call down bread. He multiplies what's in His own hands. And listen, He will multiply you because your life is in His hands. And your relationship with God becomes a partnership. Amen. Did you know that He foreordained things for you to walk in and to do? Amen. He trusts that you're going to walk in His ways. Amen. And He invites us to bring what we have, what little bit we have. Amen. Well, Lord, is this enough? It's more than enough. Amen. It's more than enough when you put it in God's hands. Amen. It's, oh, It's more than enough when you put it in the Master's hands. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I shall not want. Amen. He meets all of our needs. And God cares deeply for both our spiritual and our physical needs. And He feeds us, He fills us, He sustains us. Amen. And Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. He is the Christ. Amen. The Savior of the world. He's the Christ, the provider who feeds us when we're hungry. Amen. He shall supply all of my needs. All of my needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I remember years ago, and this just came up in my mind more recently. Amen. But I remember all those years ago when I started, I quit my job to go to school full time, and it was a wise choice. I knew that, and of course I got counsel and made sure that I wasn't just doing things, you know, off the cuff, but I was pretty much at a job where I wasn't going to grow, and I thought, well, Montgomery GI Bill will send me to school full time. And so I took that and went to school for about 2.5-3 years. And so I had quit my job in January of 2010. And I graduated in May of 2013. And so I needed a job. Now it's time to go to work, right? And of course, pretty soon we were going to have a kid. And I didn't know that, but God knew. And we thought that we were going to be stuck in apartments that whole time. Did you know God got us a loan for a house while I was a full-time student on a VA loan? I had zero income to put in that bracket, and we got approved because of my wife working and me going to school. So that's like unheard of. You're going to give somebody a loan for a house with no income? I don't think so. But God knew. God knew. In fact, Pastor Greeley said, "I believe you're going to get that house." And I said, "Praise God." I didn't know if I even believed it. Amen. But we got that house. Hallelujah. And now that house is worth like 3 times as much as it was. Amen. And so God knew. God knew that the whole time. And so then I had to go, we got to pay the mortgage. I'm not going to get a check from the government anymore. And tried to work a little bit here and there. But got to the point where there was not really any options. And I remember praying a week before my birthday, or about a month before my birthday, actually. Remember praying, "God, it would be so great if, just as a gift for my birthday, that you could get me a job." And so I got that job in IT at Pfizer. I started October 14th, right before my birthday. Amen. And I've been there. Listen, they're about to let go my boss and my director. And that's not the first time. It's like I'm the last man standing. It's crazy. Every other person on every other team that I've ever worked for has all been gone. And God is still keeping me there for whatever reason. I don't know. I told you guys on Thanksgiving testimony night, the brains don't match the output. Amen. So God helps me. And He's so good. That was that situation where I was like, I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. I don't know where my job's going to come from. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's provided over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else has a testimony? Pastor? James? It's your time to shine, son. Give it to Grandpa. This is why I normally get Hayden to do that.
Praise the Lord. What comes to mind is I was, Jeanette and I, she was in Wisconsin, I was in Virginia. I just went there with the intention, I'm going to quit doing drugs and alcohol, I'm going to get in church. And it was really difficult to tell my wife, who was my wife then, she was my girlfriend, about Jesus' name, apostolic one, God, faith, right? But I'm going to Virginia, and I'm going to live for God, and I hope you come with me. You know, you come after. I'll go there, get started, and you come after. I say, okay, well, that's the plan. You go there, get started, and she's going to come out after. Well, I had a Pinto. In that Pinto, I bought used tires. It had almost bald tires. I bought some used tires, and I put them on that car, and it had pretty good tread on them. Well, I didn't really know, but those tires were rotted. You know, they were old, and they were whatever. By the time I got to Virginia, I had three different breakdowns with tire blowouts on the way to Virginia. And my four-cylinder Pinto was only now running on three cylinders. It wouldn't hardly make it up the mountain. And all the money I did have, I bought tires and fixed the car and worked. You know, I spent all my money to get there. And, you know, here I am. I got this big plan. My girlfriend's going to come. And, man, I need somewhere to live. And, you know, God put me in touch with somebody my first day at church that said, we're looking for somebody. Come tomorrow morning. I was hired on Monday. You know, the very next day. And, I mean, I was hooked up with somebody from church. Of course, they blessed me and helped me. And God gave me a job, like, in one day. Right? And we've been in church ever since. We never look back.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, when you make up your mind, I'm going to do it, I'm going to live for God, God will help you live for Him.
Yes, He will. Amen.
We got one more. One more. God's provided for you. When you didn't know where the money was going to come, where the food was going to come from, go ahead, Sister Diana.
Shall we praise the Lord? I remember way back when my husband died. We were building our house. It's a four-bedroom house in Jamaica. I don't know anything about construction. There was no money. I was just working with the government, not working a lot of money. And every morning I get up, I pray around the house. I was speaking in tongues right around the house. People must be thinking this lady is crazy. I said, God, how am I going to finish this house? How am I going to deal with this? I went into NCB Bank. He said, oh, when are you going to retire or whatever? I'm going to give you $800,000. I said, that's not going to do me. So I went to Scotia Bank. Scotia said, oh, you could get anything you want because you're working with the government. And he gave me that money. I get to put on the house go up so fast. The tap was on, the electricity, everything was in there. A guy passed and said, insurance money is running, Mrs. Lyle. I said, get out of here. Leave me alone. And the house is going, and now the house is, you have to say it is finished. And I do not owe any money. I get my title and everything. My wow. Son is very comfortable in there. God. The hurricane come and he is so comfortable. It's a good, stable, good house.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, I've been so good.
Good.
I remember one night I called my bigger sister. She's the little one, but she's the bigger one. And I said, I'm just crying. I don't know how I'm going to manage. I have no money. I don't know what to do. She said, you soon come here. Your paper soon come true. Me say, I have to finish this house. She said, just keep strong in the Lord.
Amen.
A vehicle was there, but the vehicle need to fix because the rest of the vehicle, my bigger son and people have the rest of the vehicle.
Amen.
And I said, I take that vehicle and I call a mechanic. And I went to a far place and buy a brand new engine. and fix up that vehicle. My younger said, Mommy, it's on the road now. You can drive. You can. Daddy's good. Gone, but you can manage.
Yeah.
And he buy four tire for me. And praise I drove Lord. To Portmore. When I was coming back on the highway, I hear sounds with the tire. I drive very fast because I want to go home. I don't want to stop to know because I think it's some old tire. When I reach in the yard, I hear squash. The four tire went down.
Oh, my. Wow.
But God is a good God.
He brought you the whole way.
He brought me through this and he brought me through God. Yes. God provided for me all the way.
All the way.
2 years after all my documents start coming from the government
Thank
up here.
You, Jesus.
I said, Jesus, everything is coming. I have to go to America to live. I cannot leave my house. My oldest who I work with said, Mrs. Lally, you are going the right way to America, not like other people.
Yeah, that's
go.
Right.
Your kids are big. Go. It will be better for you.
Amen.
And here am I. God provide for
Thank
me
you,
in such
Jesus.
A way. I've been through this. I've been through that. But Hallelujah. Here am I living for God, and God is still providing.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bring that to me, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got it.
Praise the Lord.
I was running out of batteries on this one. Amen. And when batteries run out, I just have to shout. Amen. Praise God. As you can see, this isn't something from yesterday. This isn't something from, even hundreds of years ago or somewhere else. It's right here in our church. Jesus is real. And Mark chapter 7 and 8, they reveal that he's a Savior who doesn't just demonstrate power or demonstrate his authority, but he's a provider. He's a restorer. Amen. He heals a deaf man because he's the creator who formed the ear. Hallelujah. And he feeds the multitude because the same Lord who rained manna down from heaven in the wilderness now can take what you give him and break it with his own hands and give and provide. Hallelujah. These chapters show us a God who does not want to leave you incomplete. He wants you to be whole. He touches the broken. He fills the empty. He restores what life has taken away. Amen. And this is the same Jesus that Paul spoke of to the Galatians. Not something far away. Not something that's just a theory, but evidently set forth before our very eyes. Amen. That revelation that Jesus gave us makes the Lord Jesus Christ present and real. Amen. To us. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful that he has preserved his word and he's brought it here. And our relationship with Jesus, he's not remote. He's not distant. Amen. We don't have to pick up a satellite phone or no. But we're right here. We can admire him. We can love him. Amen. We can see him for ourselves. We can hear him for ourselves. And it's personal. Amen. If these two chapters didn't show that he knows your very ins and outs, your very needs. He knows what we need in the next moment. And he's the one who has the power, amen, to put it all back together and bring us all the way, like Sister Diane mentioned, all the way. He's going to bring us all the way. Hallelujah. Every healing that God has given us, amen. Every time he has multiplied our little stores, amen. And every time he restores, even the greatest thing that he has done is restored our lives. Amen. Gave us purpose. Gave us a calling. Amen. It's not a light thing, amen, to be in the kingdom of God. It's not a light thing to believe the gospel. Amen. Because it's new life. It's new life in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. And this is what we've discovered. This is what we've seen. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue to see this through the series, the rest of it. Amen. I just believe that right towards the end of Mark is when Jesus shows His glory to us like never before. Amen. And yes, He's restored us. Yes, He's a God with all power and authority. Amen. But the greatest thing of all is Him giving His life for us. Amen. And when He reveals His whole glory on the cross and in the resurrection, amen, it's the reason that we live. Jesus is the reason I live. Oh, what a reason. Amen. He's the only reason I live. Oh, what a reason, that old song says. Amen. And I'm so thankful that I have heard Him myself. And I know, as the Scripture says, that He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Would you stand with me tonight? And can we lift up our hands to the Christ, the Savior of the world? Oh, Lord Jesus, You are the reason for my life, God. You're the reason for my strength, Lord Jesus. You provided every need, Lord Jesus, and You do all things well. Hallelujah. Oh, God, when I was broken, You fixed me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When I could not see, God, You gave me sight, Jesus. Hallelujah. When I could not hear You, Lord Jesus, You opened my ears, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have provided time and time again, Lord Jesus. And You are a provider, Lord Jesus, who will never fail. Why, God? Because You're the Creator. Amen. The Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not just the King of kings and Lord of lords, but You are God. You are God all by Yourself, Lord Jesus. And I thank You and I love You for revealing that to me, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I worship You. I praise You. I love You. Glory be to Your name, God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.